get a sense of also, was there much violence against the farm workers by the growers or by the people that they brought in? What was it?
No, I cannot really recall that portion of it. Although the growers in the early years became violent with Hector Avetia, who was one of the volunteers there. He used to work for the FBLGIO. I think they beat him up over there, and he had one leg. They beat him up in Leno. But that's the kind of the only violence that I could remember. And of course, in Coachella it was different. It was really violent.
Now, during this time, the fast went on, and there was the idea came up of the boycott. Could you tell me how did the boycott
did not come from that fasting?
No. After the
later.
Later on.
Yeah.
There was another technique. The fast quelled the violence and drew some.
Yeah, that's where Kennedy and all that came over. Yeah.
But there was the idea of the boycott to take it on a national level. How did that?
Well, again, we went to Coachella. We went to Coachella. We had a strike in Coachella. I was the advance man there of Caesar. We went there, set it up, get a housing, and so on. But again, there was no contract. There were a lot of people that we had to bring out, and we spent a lot of money in strike benefits or that kind of thing. So we had a meeting, and Caesar, there was a suggestion that we should go on a boycott, on an international boycott. And they had assignments. I was assigned to go to Maryland with my family. And I had, so I said, okay, wherever. Because as far as I'm concerned, my whole life was already for the union, for the organization. Whatever they want me to do, I'll do it. That's what everybody was thinking. Although we were receiving only $5 a week, strike benefit, you know that. But that's what I thought.
But why did you feel that way? Why was your life committed to the strike despite the fact you made no money?
Well, that is it. That is why, in my observation, it is the ones that are really serious about the whole thing. You don't care about money. My concentration was to be able to help and to be able to do something for the farm workers. And that is the concentration of everyone. Cesar Chavez, Dolores. Money was not important anymore. We were eating anyway. We had... I was sent to Maryland with a couple, and we went, and I was in a Volkswagen, Beetle, and I had three boys in the back. So we went, we passed through Arizona. Oh, before we left, Caesar said, get $100. That's all we had. And it's up to you to go to Maryland with $100? At that time, we didn't have any money, but that's okay. I said, we're going to win this anyway, because whatever is decided, we all begin to go along with it. It was decided to go on a boycott, we'll go on a boycott. So we went, we arrived in Maryland. We stayed in the church, we stayed in some friend's house, and with $100. And then we arrived in Maryland, in Baltimore, and the Central Labor Council, was there to meet us in the outskirts.
But what was it like to all of a sudden travel, to say you're going to Maryland, and to pick up your whole family, leave everything behind, and get with $100? Weren't you absolutely frightened?
No, because I think what happened to me was that, or to most of us in the union, was that that's it. Let the union take care of us, and he will take care of us and our family. But we are really set to win it and to fight for the people And the only way we can do it is through probably that, at that time, the boycott. And so we had, I didn't care, you know. There was no monetary thing in my mind anymore. It was strictly the cause of the farm workers, which I have given myself. And I think that was true with most of us in the union. Up to now, you know, you've talked to Gilbert, and he talks also about what happened to him in the early years. But that's how it was. All of us were committed to it. No fear, nothing. I was not afraid of anything anymore. I know that we can do it. And we went. We'll do our part. So that's what the part was, to convince people in Baltimore to support the boycott of the grapes. They should not eat grapes.
And when you arrived and you tried to get people to support your cause, did they embrace you? Did they reject you?
They had already an idea about the strike. Most of them, anyway. I mean, quite a few. And then we had meetings with them, and we had picket lines, set up picketing in the big department, big fruits, what do you call that, fruit stands, and also in the stores. And we sent out leaflets. We give out leaflets informing them of the boycott of the grapes, and that they should not eat grapes, because by not eating grapes, they are supporting the farm workers who are trying to get themselves into the mainstream. And you will be surprised how people will react to it. Eventually, little by little, they begin to support it, and they will not eat grapes too, see? And I guess that was the beginning of the end also of the growers, because, their pocketbook was being hit, the boycott.
Now, you were out there picketing in front of stores, but your kids were also involved.
It is important that in a situation like that, you should involve your whole family. Like, Caesar had all his kids involved. Everybody had their kids involved. I had mine. As you saw, they are also in the picket line. They come to the picket, they distribute leaflet. So they begin to understand why we are there for. It's not, I don't want to do that. They full-heartedly, they went there to help their father, And that's how it was. And so eventually I became the head of the entire East Coast, because I was moved to New York when Dolores left. Not Dolores, but somebody else, that there were some problems there. I had to go. Caesar called me on the phone. You proceed to New York. Yeah, right away. Next day, I was in New York.
How was that? When you got to New York, how was that? Okay. Going into that reception, it was very different, wasn't it?
When I arrived in New York, we were staying at the Ladies Garments Workers Union's office. I went to look for a house. I stayed for a while with Anna Poharitz. And so I walked into the office. When I was ready for it, I saw on the desk, the table, different literatures and different leaflets of different. At that time, there were a lot of causes. The Black Panther and so on and so on and so on, with a different approach. We are non-violent, right? And so I took all of that leaflet and threw it in the wastebasket. And it created a lot of problems with the volunteers, who were mostly students. And they said, "Why did I do that?" I said, "If you are working for the farm workers in the boycott, you should only have one cause, and that's the farm workers' cause." They walk out on me. But 30 minutes later, they came back. "I think you're right. We should do what you say." And that's the beginning also of the end of the boycott in New York, because we finally won it, as you know.
How important was it? Were the volunteers, the students, and the people, were they important for what you?
That's what I said. That the students helped a lot, also, and I really appreciated that that support that they gave. But some of them were just passing through, type of volunteer. You know, oh, this is something that's new or curious about it, and they will stay there for the summer, and they'll be gone forever, and they will go back to their schools and all that kind of thing. But there were also some students that got so involved that they finally continued to do so in the process.
Could the union have made it without the support of the students and the consumers and all the people that came out and supported you?
No, I don't think so. You need the support of those people in the community. You need the support of the students. Because the students, you know, are really, but the students must be made to understand that if they are for that cause, they should only concentrate on that cause, not get themselves involved with so many causes. It doesn't work that way. It must be only on one cause, the farm workers' cause, which was the boycott.
Now, one of the things that you were quite involved in, this is going back to the past, was the Kennedy coming out. And could you describe what happened and how it happened that Bobby Kennedy was brought out to Delano to join?
Well, Robert Kennedy was there before that in a hearing. They had a hearing regarding, you know, the conditions in the field and so on. And there were a lot of arrests, and because the sheriff at that time was, I think the sheriff said something like, why did you arrest the people? Because they were thinking that committing a crime, something like that. You mean tell me that you did that? You arrested them just because they were thinking of, you thought that they were thinking of committing a crime? That's what happened there. And anyway, you should read the Constitution again, because he was told by Kennedy. But on the 25th day of Caesar's fast, Robert Kennedy came because they had he was thinking of breaking the fast, and Robert Kennedy was supporting the cause, the United Farm Workers, the cause of the United Farm Workers, and they came in. And he broke fast with Caesar.
What did that mean to all of you, to have Bobby Kennedy come out?
Well, we are, as I told you, everything is happening so fast. More people are supporting the effort that we were doing. A lot of people were coming in. And, you know, it's just, we were doing the right thing. We knew that we were doing the right thing. And Kennedy came, broke the fast with Caesar, and then I think he announced that he was running for president in the primary.
What did you think of that?
That was good, because, you know, we supported him. We went to L.A. and campaigned for him for the primary, and he won, of course, you know. But unfortunately, what happened in Ambassador Hotel.
What did that mean to all of you, that the fact that Bobby Kennedy was assassinated at that point?
It was a shock. Very bad. I was feeling so bad about it. And I think Caesar was feeling so bad about it. Everybody was feeling really, really, really very bad. What has this country come to, especially now that we're talking about nonviolence, and all of a sudden there he was killed right there. And he won it. We could have been the president of the United States. It was very bad. Everybody was just torn apart.
What difference would it have made had he lived, do you think?
I beg your pardon?
If Bobby hadn't been killed, how would things have been different?
He would have been president. In my opinion, he would have been president, because the way people were reacting to him, and he winning in California, you know, he won in California. And then he being friend of the union, he could have given us more support in good laws that would elevate, I mean, give the farm workers a chance to be able to do it legally, to make himself like other workers in the country.
Now, there was one of the things that you keep on talking about is this feeling that you had no fear, that you went out on boycott, you stood on the picket lines, you faced down violence. Help me understand what.
Okay, when you are, I wasn't thinking of myself in the sense. I was always thinking of the cause. I was thinking of the people that we are helping. And it makes you feel different, that's why even in the boycott, I was not afraid. I was not ashamed. I know I was doing the right thing. I believe in the cause. I believe that the farm workers should be given that opportunity like other workers. So the Teamsters were, at that time, were very unpopular because they were trying to destroy us, whatever we have done, and they were standing there on the other side of the... But I was not afraid at all. I was talking to them. There was no fear. And most of us, there was no fear. You don't really become afraid when you are really in a cause like that. You are not. There's no fear. Because you're doing it for people. Yeah? Now, if you're doing it for myself, I don't know. Maybe I'll be afraid. But I was doing it for a lot of people.
And other people felt like that too?
And a lot of people in the union thought about that too. And that's why it was difficult. Because for those that are dedicated to the cause that they represent, I think they are so dedicated to it that it is very difficult for them to lose. They will never lose. They will always win. Most of the time they will win because they believe in a just cause, and they will be willing to do anything. Wake up in the morning at 2 o'clock and be in the picket line, or do this and do that and do that. While, people are complacent and taking it easy, these people are working like ants, doing. Every single day, building. Because they know that in the end they're going to win. And that's what happened to us. We know because Caesar said we're going to win. And I know we're going to win. I tell everybody we're going to win this. I told them. Believing. Once you believe in your cause, and the cause is just, I don't think that's how it is. There would be no fear. During the boycott, we were in New York, as I said, and there was a letter, there was a message sent to us that there was a bell that made the famous Philadelphia Independence Bell, sending us a bell. And I said, what are we going to do with the bell? So the whole night, I called everybody from different areas to come to New York just to discuss what we're going to do with the bell. So we had a name, all kinds of names for the bell. Farm Freedom Bells, whatever bell, Farm Workers Bell. So anyway, there was a ceremony also in the city hall where we tied the bell with a chain, and we tied it. And Mayor Lindsay was there, and I said, this chain will remain with the bell for as long as the farm workers are not free. So the foundry did not like that because they're not supposed to tie the chain. But we had a chain as a symbol of the problems of the farm workers, that the farm workers were not really free.
good. Okay, let me see if there's anything else here. I think we got it. I think we did. Yeah.